2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Hectic night tonight, of course, with the NFL Draft on the screens in front of us. Zach Wilson of BYU taking number 2 overall. Not a surprise, but certainly once it finally happened, everybody breathing a sigh of relief here. And my favorite tweet that was sent out, Scott, the Corner Canyon High School taking credit for all for Zach Wilson's.
Well, they should.
No, it got supplanted. You know who showed up and took credit for Zach Wilson after that? Draper City tweeted out, Scott. Draper City.
That's right.
Well, we didn't do everything, but he did. He was born and raised here, so there you go. Everybody excited for Zach Wilson to see what he can do with the New York Jets.
You know what's so funny? When I was a kid, Draper was not considered.
It was farmland, man.
Yeah.
It's like all these places that have every place yeah. that just fill in the blank with whatever town now, and people go, you know, when I was a kid, that was just farmland. You know, Eagle Mountain wasn't even a thing. It was just an eagle out there. All right. Joining us on KSL's Unrivaled right now, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. He is Mitch Harper. Mitch, what's going on? Busy night for you tonight. We just had Coach A-Rod on here with us, and the guy can barely catch his breath, and he's just kind of hanging out watching the whole action.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff what's going on. I mean, it's a historic night for Zach Wilson and for BYU football to a lesser extent. I mean, to have the number 2 overall pick, that's pretty remarkable, especially for a guy that a year ago at this time when a virtual draft was taking place, no one saw this coming. I mean, no one did. No one. I mean, honestly, when Zach Wilson declared for the NFL draft, I don't think anyone thought he was getting above 5. I mean, I thought like the Dallas Cowboys at 10 was going to be the spot. So even since January, he's had this incredible rise up the draft boards, and now he's the number 2 overall pick, and now he's got the chance to revive a Jets franchise that just seems to be begging for some sort of success at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it was so exciting to watch him get drafted, and just a great thing it is. It's for BYU football and really for the state of Utah. It's and for the city of Draper too, by the way. But just a remarkable thing. I'm curious where is everyone else? These other players at BYU, where did they land? What are you hearing about them in the draft?
Yeah, I think Brady Christensen is going to be a guy, offensive tackle for BYU, left after his junior season. He's going to be someone to keep an eye on that could be potentially protecting Zach Wilson on that New York Jets offensive line, because the Jets O-line is not good. Now, they got a young left tackle, Mekhi Brechtin, who could, you know, occupy the spot that Brady Christensen ultimately wants to play at the NFL. But if Christensen's maybe willing to play the right tackle spot, maybe he could find a landing spot with the New York Jets. So that's something to keep an eye on. I think we do hear Brady Christensen's name tomorrow. I think most of the guys – after Brady Christensen will probably be day 3 guys. I don't see Matt Bushman or Chris Wilcox or Dax Milne going anytime tomorrow, but I think BYU is going to have my prediction is they're going to have 6 guys selected, in large part because this is a small draft class. There's only about 600 or so players that are in the draft pool this year, which is far less than typical years where you see usually about 1,200 to 1,400 guys. But with so many players returning for another year of college football eligibility, it's created a small draft pool. So I think some BYU guys could sneak into that sixth, seventh round that maybe weren't expected to get drafted a few months ago.
Mitch Harper joining us on KSL's Unrivaled. Mitch, one of the things that I was wondering about that, the kind of historics of having this many guys drafted, things like that. But what did Kalani Sitake do to kind of garner this? Was it just because of this last season? Obviously, guys like Zach Wilson and Dax Milne became kind of household names for some of these GMs because of this last season. But guys like Kyrus Tonga and Brady Christensen were likely on a lot of people's radars as it was. But so how is it that Kalani's been able to turn around this culture of a place that did not really have a lot of NFL draft possibilities over the last, couple of 15 years to what it is now, possibly having multiples in this draft?
Well, I think the biggest thing, guys, is that Kalani Sitake's got an eye for talent when they're very young. I mean, Kyrus Tonga is a guy that we expect to hear his name called this weekend. Kalani Sitake saw him as an eighth grader when he was a tight end and envisioned him being a zero tech, D tackle. I mean, Kalani has a knack for that. Like, that's his gift when it comes to recruiting. He's got the good personality. Players love him, all of that. But he really has success at projecting guys that no one in recruiting circles is talking about and forecasting them as impact players potentially at the collegiate level. Because you go down the list, Zach Wilson, Kyrus Tonga, Dax Milne, they were all underrated guys, if not even – they weren't even rated in some cases. Like Dax Milne, who only had a scholarship offer to Weber State. He was a preferred walk-on. So I just think that they have a knack for projecting, and when they get to BYU, they develop. And that's a testament to back in the day with Lavelle Edwards, and it was carried over to Kyle Whittingham at Utah. And Kalani's kind of that next chapter of that, player development, getting guys that are projection-based, and getting them into your program and getting them to buy into the family culture and getting the most out of their potential. So I think that's the biggest thing as to why this has happened is where Kalani's just really gifted when it comes to player evaluations.
So understanding the projection side of players and all that, and it's a thing, it's a real thing, and it works, and it's almost a science, all the different things they look at. It's like, how tall is your mom, and where's your heritage from? Certain cultures have taller people than others, but aside from that, I mean, Zach Wilson is the second pick in the entire draft, and I know it's got to have some impact on recruiting. I'm just curious where you think that might be. Is BYU going to be able to get better players, higher stars? What impact does it actually have?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that you're going to see the impact in the 2023 recruiting cycle, because BYU for their 2022 recruiting class, they pretty much have identified their guys. They're going to wait on a few quarterback prospects, but I think 2023, 2024, when coaches can actually start to recruit in person again and identify prospects coming up on June 1st, that to me is going to be valuable, that they can go into these high schools of some top-notch prospects that are quarterbacks, and they've got some cachet now. They can go into the home or a school of a four-star, five-star recruit that's a rising star in the recruiting rankings, and they've got some cachet because they produce a number two pick that they're willing to maybe listen to those guys. Because when Kalani first took over the BYU program, they were trying to go guns blazing and offer all these four and five star guys. But really, none of those recruits were listening to BYU because they just had no cachet at all anywhere in the recruiting world. The NFL draft is so key when it comes to recruiting blue chip prospects that are both LDS and try to make inroads with guys that are not members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I think it's going to give BYU a puncher's chance of just having those conversations. And when they get those conversations, Kalani Sitake's got the personality that he can win over any family, as we saw with getting Zach Wilson to BYU.
Mitch, before you get out here, very quick, just knee-jerk reaction. Who's the next Zach Wilson? Doesn't have to be a quarterback on BYU's roster. Who's the next Zach Wilson on this BYU roster?
Isaac Rex, tight end, 6'6", 247 pounds. He's going to be potentially a first-round draft pick eventually. That guy has endless potential. He's going to continue to rise in the coming years.
He had like 15 catches last year, and 14 of them were touchdowns. So Not a bad go for the young man. All right, Mitch, Cougar Sports Saturday, of course, going to be packed full of more of this coverage coming up on Saturday. So
Steve Young coming up on Saturday.
Steve too. Young coming in. I love it. All right, so you don't want to miss it. Thanks, Mitch. We appreciate it. We're taking the break here. When we return, two-minute drill to wrap things up right here on KSL's Unrivaled on draft night.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.